I love the family. You know, when they get to going, it's hard to stop them. Word of encouragement. Jim's using his gift. Oh, yeah, Jim. All right. Hallelujah. You guys were here with us last week. We talked about Jesus, our burden bearer. I know that in your bulletin it was barrier. It's okay. I did clarify last Sunday, if you remember. I said burden barrier, and then I said, but it's bearer. So I actually caught it, but I didn't say anything. But now I wanted to bring it up because, you know, it was just one of those things. Thought I'd pick on Terry. No, I really am. She does a great job. Very seldom does she make a mistake. Do you guys know that? Yeah, there's proof. Terry does make mistakes. Very, very few, though. Yes. Usually I'm the one that don't get it to her on time, so I'm making her rush. That's why she makes a mistake. So Jesus, our burden bearer, and actually he is our bearer too. And so he's the one that carries our burdens. And remember what I told you last week is that when the message last week when we were talking about him talking about John, Jesus was actually carrying John's burden because John was in prison at that time. John the Baptist was in prison, and he'd done the work of service that God had called him to. And so he was in prison. And can you imagine if you were in a prison like it was back then, you wouldn't be able to do the things that God called you to do. But he did finish his task. And so Jesus was letting him know that he is the Messiah because he said, go back. Remember, he said, go back and telling these things that you've seen and heard. And as they did go back and give that to John, John understood that, yeah, his mission had been completed. The Messiah had come, and he had made the way. He'd made the way possible. And I correlated that with us as we know Jesus and we understand what he did for us. Our job is to make a way for someone else to know him. So basically, all of you are little Johns. Little Johns. Right? You got to help Jesus in making a way for others. And so making that way, that pathway, and sometimes we need to be a burden bearer for those that need help. And so God has called us to do what he did. He was our model. And so we talked about that, and we really come to that place of really making a commitment at the end of service last Sunday was that we wanted to make a commitment. Lord, we want to make a commitment to you that we would sell out, that we would be the people you've called us to be, and we would spend the rest of our lives understanding who we are in you and putting you first in our lives. And we talked about that. Today I want to talk about chapter 12, and I've entitled this message, Hearing and Listening to Jesus. How do you guys know that there's a difference? Hearing and listening are two different things. So let's pray about that. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word that comes alive to us as we dig into it and as it becomes personal to us. Lord, I pray that we would be listeners, Lord, that we would hear you, and then we would listen to what you've said. God, that we would be doers of what you've given us. And Father, today we pray that our minds and our hearts, our spirits would be alive to your word. And Lord, as it feeds us, Lord, we ask, God, that we would have the strength, the ability to put action to what you've spoken to us today. And so we love you. We thank you, God, go before us. We bind the enemy in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that there would be no other spirit but the Spirit of the living God in this place as we humble ourselves before you and learn from you and take it in. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hearing and listening to Jesus. Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath, we're going to talk about that. Our rest is in Jesus. And so let's kick it off in verse 1, chapter 12. So at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath day, back then, the Jewish people set aside. Remember, what is one of the commandments? The commandments is, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, right? And so in the Old Testament, the Jews had that regulation from the Ten Commandments, and they really were rigid about it then. And the Jews had basically there were 39 actions in Sabbath that you could not do, the do nots during Sabbath. And so they were very rigid about that. And Jesus is going to clarify some things in what the Sabbath was about. And so they were in the grain fields on Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of the grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." And so that was one of the 39 actions, the do nots of the Sabbath, was that you could not, you couldn't go and work and make money or work during that day to buy and sell and do your normal work things. So what they were saying is these disciples were going through the grain fields. They couldn't thresh on the Sabbath, Saturday. So these disciples were going through the grain fields. They were picking these heads, and they were threshing them in their hands to get the chaff off so that they could eat the grain, right? And so that's what was going on, and they were gathering that so that they could eat the grain. And these leaders of the synagogue there, the Sadducees, they came and were upset that these guys were breaking the Sabbath because they were eating. They were threshing, right? So they were being very legalistic in the sense that they were breaking the Sabbath. And so Jesus had to address this and what they were saying to them. And so he went on to say to them, he said, "But he said to them, 'Have you not read that David did what David did? He became hungry and his companions, how he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone.'" Now, if you go back and read 1 Samuel 21, 1 through 6, you'll read that story. And what was going on then was David had been out with his companions, with his guys, and they were battling, but basically they were on the run and they were hungry. They went by this church, this synagogue, and the priests were there, and he demanded that they give them food. David did. And if you read the story, you'll find out that the priest gave them the bread that was made for communion. Basically, it was a communion bread. And what was not ate during that Sabbath session, they had what was left over. The priest would eat it, right? And so basically, Jesus is addressing this to these guys, saying, okay, basically what was lawful was that what the priests were doing, they were saying David couldn't eat. Well, it was unused bread that they had for the service, right? So the priests were normally eating that, but he came and asked, they were hungry. And so he took the bread and he ate that. And it wasn't the fresh bread that was made for, it was the old bread that the priest would normally eat, what was left over. And so it's kind of like what we do with communion here, what's left over, the bread on the plate, or the little cups that have the juice in it, right? I give it to the kids and let them finish it off so I don't waste it, right? It's already done. It's over. Might as well use it, right? Is that not lawful? Well, it's not the stuff. It's the heart condition. And Jesus is going to put this into practice. So basically, he's telling these guys that, and he's telling them, look, under these circumstances, these conditions, you've seen what David did, right? And he was your forefather. You guys practiced these things that David put into place. He put the temple in place for you, right? And his son built it, and you guys got the law, and then you took it to another level. And you wouldn't condemn David now for what he did then, right? And if you're going to condemn me now for what we're doing here, you would have to do the same to him. And nor they wouldn't do that, right? They wouldn't, because they knew the story and they understood what David did later, right? So he's just putting it in perspective. He says, guys, if you're going to look at this thing rightly, you're going to have to judge it rightly. And so what we're doing, is it really not legal for us to eat on the Sabbath? So to condemn Jesus for that, they would have to condemn David, nor would they do it. And he knew that, so he's given him the story. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break bread the Sabbath and are innocent? So they ate after, like I told you, they would break bread and do the communion, basically get through, and when it was done, the priest would eat what was left over. But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, I desire, and Jesus is saying, I desire compassion and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. So he's saying, look, you guys don't know what you're doing here. You're condemning us. You're making law such a direct thing that you're condemning innocent people by it. And he said, if you knew what I've come to teach you, and this is something we need to understand, Jesus desires compassion more than our sacrifice. Right? He desires our compassion for one another more than coming and doing all the rules and regulations. Even on the Sabbath day, right? If you followed all the rules and regulations and missed Jesus, what good would the Sabbath be? Right? What good would it be? And so he's trying to make this understanding that we need to understand that the Sabbath was made for us, right? It was for our time to get with the Lord, have rest, take a break from our work session, our 7 days of work. He said, don't do that. Your body can't do that. He's helping us understand that we need a day to just rest ourselves and get in the presence of the King and recharge, refill spiritually and physically, so that we can go on to the week ahead. And that was why God gave it. He gave it for us. We weren't made for it. We weren't bound by certain regulations and rules. The reason why he gave it was for our benefit, for our health. And if we understand that, we would take advantage of that. We would do that, right? Because it's healthy for us, not only spiritually, but physically. And so God's given us this direction, and the Jews took it to a whole nother level. And they put themselves above everybody else and saying, look, if you don't do this, you don't fit the criteria. And so if people come into this place and they're not all of that, then they're shunned or made look like that they aren't doing things right. And God says, look, he desires what? Compassion. For those that don't know or doing things, that we have compassion for them, and the sacrifice of what we do isn't the important thing. Sacrifice is good, but he desires compassion. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And Jesus was saying, basically, he is Lord of the Sabbath. In him, all things were brought into play, into understanding. So departing from there, he went into their synagogue. Now, right after that, he gave these guys understanding. And what was the next thing he did? He went into the synagogue right after they said he broke the Sabbath and shame on you. He goes into the synagogue. I thought that was amazing. Not only did he give them a what for, he went right into the temple and went to work. And a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, and they were kind of setting him up here, asking, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, isn't it amazing what mankind does? I mean, to me, it's amazing. We get into our practices of life, and we overlook the simplicity of Jesus. Of Jesus, what he came, why he's here. What he did for you and me, and what we have to understand in it. And he said to them, So what man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? Wouldn't you? And this is the Sabbath day. So he's saying, if you follow this law, this regulation, you know, you certainly wouldn't allow something to die because of a rule, right? And how much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And he's telling, look, if there's something good that you need to do, by all means, don't make a rule higher than the understanding of what's right, what's good to do, what's important. And then he said to the men, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and he was restored to normal like the other. But the priest went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. I don't know about you, but if I seen Jesus lay hands on somebody and their hand was healed, I wouldn't be conspiring against him. I'd go, dude, you got something going on. I'm gonna watch you a little closer. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them. What was that last word? All. You know, God's heart, Jesus's whole heart, when he talks about compassion for you and me, is he wants to heal you all. And we have lots of different things. We may not be physically withered. You know, we may not have a withered area on our body physically, but I certainly know that a lot of us have withered areas in our emotional lives, in our spiritual lives, from past wounds and hurts that have happened to us. And God wants us to be released from this sickness, or this, he wants us to be healed and whole. His heart is to come and do that for each one of us, every one of us. It's a matter of us understanding it and drawing near to him and allowing him to touch us. And what areas that he doesn't minister to us at this point in time, we never want to give up. Never give up on God. I mean, he teaches us as we surrender to him day by day by day. And so these areas of relationship with God, we're going to find out some things he's allowed in our lives so that we would stay close to him. Remember what Paul said? He had this thorn in the flesh, and he'd prayed 3 times, Lord, deliver me of this, and he didn't. And what was the outcome then? What was Paul's understanding because God didn't deliver him? It was to keep him accountable, right? So that he wouldn't get to be all that he had a flaw, so that he would understand that he needed Jesus. That was the outcome of that thing that God had allowed in his life. And some of us need that in our lives. I have things in my life I wish God would deliver me of. One of them is I struggle to study. And God allowed that. The reason? So that I wouldn't give up. And that as I learn and grow, by studying, it's harder for me to, my reading capacity is not good. My spelling is horrible because from dyslexia, I swatch things around, even in numbers. If I don't repeat them and write them as I say them, I'll swap them around. So it's a flaw, and it's okay, right? It's okay. It's hard for me to be up here because that. I didn't want to be a pastor because I was kind of ashamed of that. Right? So each one of us have this area that God allows. Why? He wants to keep us humble. Because if we get all that and start thinking that we've got it all together, then we're not able to be compassionate. Right? We can't show the compassion. And in this message, when he's talking about the Jews and how the law became so important to them that they missed the compassion and the heart of the matter. And that's why he said, you and I have to surpass that in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And here's the thing. The kingdom is here and it is there. So if we're going to enter into the area of the kingdom here on earth, we have to come to that place of understanding who we are in Christ, and whatever flaw we have, we can't allow the enemy to beat us up with it. We need to just move forward however God's called us to, and be diligent not to stop. Don't give up. Don't quit on God because you have a physical ailment or a past thing that has got you mentally broke down or messed up, because God wants to heal that. Now, in that my area of flaw where I have a hard time studying because of it just takes me longer than average. When I was in school, it really was difficult for me to stay in there and keep studying even when I was just frustrated. My reading ability has grown tremendously because I've overcome it. And I'm still overcoming it. But what if I'd have just quit? Right? I probably would have been illiterate because I didn't function well in my first growing up years. They didn't find out what was wrong with me until I was in high school. Right? So I went through all my grade school years behind, right? Struggling to try to keep up and missed out on a lot. Some of you know what that's like. Right? Some of you, things went well for you. Your study habits came naturally. You did well with that. Others don't. Others have flaws. And we need to recognize that with that, we need to help in any way that we can. Right? Because if we, you know how school, in high school or mainly in grade school, where if a child was not as good as the rest of the children, right, they get picked on, and these bullies will make fun of that one that has an issue, right? And so in that, though, that is a mental thing, a capacity that we receive those things, and we go, okay, well, I don't fit in, right? So then I'll try to get with this group that the misfits, and maybe we'll get a group there. If you look at society, you're going to find out that's what how people gravitate to. If you look at the gangs in New York, you're going to find out the reason why there's gangs there is because they take care of each other, right? And that family is a family, whether it's dysfunctional or not. Their home life must be dysfunctional, or they probably wouldn't be there. But the society as a whole tend to gravitate who accepts them, right? And so in the family of God, right, who do we accept? Who do we allow in? And who do we keep out? And that's what Jesus was addressing. He says, look, you guys have come to a place where you're rejecting people because of the rules. If you can't follow the rules, you can't be in. And so if it's about the rules, then we've already missed it. And there has to be rules. I get that, right? Without rules, then we would have just chaos, right? But there is a place of how we get people to follow the rules, right? It's out of compassion and love, not by do or you're doomed, you know, kind of. It's like the turn or burn thing, right? If we all just said, accept Christ or you will burn. You know, and a lot of people have done that, right? I was kind of approached that way. How many of you guys were? If you don't accept Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, that's true. But having that truth, there's a responsibility of it, right? You might know that, but how would you get that person to understand that truth? It's not by beating them up with it. Right, because they'll go, well, maybe hell's better than this. Right now, I feel like I'm in hell. I feel pretty condemned. So love is the key. Compassion is the key. And so we accept all people. what goes on from there is our responsibility to help them understand truth. And what does the truth do? It sets us free. Now, we can look at it in that view, and then we can also look at it in this view. God, I need to be set free too in areas of my life that I don't see yet, or maybe someone else sees in my life, but I'm not willing to accept that because I've got it under control. I'm good. I don't need to change because I want to stay here, or I'm good where I'm at. Where in Scripture did when you look at the passages of Scripture where anybody said, I'm good, I'm in. Even Paul said, wretched man that I am. Right? If it wasn't for Jesus, I would not be who I am today. And he made it clear to everyone. And Paul was a pretty awesome guy. But he had past. And he had the past where people judged him, where they told him, who do you think you are? You kill Christians. But that all changed because of Jesus. And so the compassion is very important. Where did I leave off? The withered hand. 11. Oh, am I way over there? And warned them to tell, it's back up to 15. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Many followed him, and he healed them all. And warned them not to tell who he was. Now, when Jesus tells things like that, do you think, so why would he do that? Wouldn't he want everybody to know who he was? Huh? It wasn't his time yet. He knew what was coming, and so he said, please don't let these guys know who I am, because they will crucify me or take me out too soon. My time isn't done yet. They'll try to anyway, because Jesus was the one that was in control of that. They didn't take his life. You guys understand? He laid it down. Right? He could have wiped them out, but because of compassion and love, he chose to give his life to save ours. Interesting, huh? What's he say? He said, "What? There's no greater thing than a man could do for a friend than to what? Lay down his life for him." And then he said, "You are my friends." So he said, "You're my friend." He says, "You're not my, you know, people that I'm trying to teach something." He called them friends. And listen, you are a friend of Jesus. He treats you like a friend. And so when you come to him with the heart of a friend to him. What greater thing than you could do than to open your life up and be a friend to Jesus? And what does a friend do? Loves at all times. And so when Jesus is calling you to himself or calling you to something, a good friend will do just what he's asking. Wouldn't you? If you're a good friend to somebody and they need you or they want you to learn something or do something for them, wouldn't you do it for them? I would. I do it all the time. I actually stop doing what I'm doing to go help them. Don't you? Or are you the one that says, I got things to do right now, and when I'm done, I might get over there to help you? No, a friend puts another person more important than himself at that time. And so Jesus said, I am your friend. You are more important than what I'm doing right at this moment. So I will come, and I will do for you whatever you need. And he's still doing that today by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, and so he warned them not to tell anybody that this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. And here's what was spoken. He says, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. Did you know that God had a soul? Huh? God is spirit, but he also has a mind, will, and emotions. He's triune, right? Just like he created us that way. So when Jesus gets hurt or when God gets hurt, do you think he feels? When you disappoint him, do you think he feels that? When you do something you're not supposed to do you think he feels that? Most of us as parents understand what this means because we We will train our child in the way that they should go, and we have high expectations for them, right? We want them to have the best and to do the best things for them. And so our expectation for our children, unless you're a parent, it's hard for you to really grasp this. But when you're a parent and you've raised a child and then they do something just outright disobedient, what does that do to you? Makes you angry. I want you to beat them. What it did for me is it hurt me. Right? It broke my heart. Because I really wanted, you know, for him to make a better decision. And listen, all kids are going to do that. If you're a parent, one day you will get your heart broke. Absolutely. And what you do with that, see now, if you beat them, what is that going to do to that child? You think so? Well, they're going to rebel. That's what usually happens. And so you turn your child into a rebellious turkey that will not listen to you. What if you went to them with compassion and gave yourself to them and said, I'm sorry you made that mistake. And I'm hoping that you learned something. But what that did to me is it broke my heart to see it. And I just want you to know that. I love you. I'll do anything to help you through this. But that hurt. And let me listen. Your children would rather not hurt you. They would do a lot to keep you from being hurt. Right? But if you're angry and you're upset at them and you beat them, then they're going to rebel against that. So Jesus was teaching us in and of his walk on earth how much he loved us, that he had compassion for us, and he still does. He doesn't beat you for your wrongdoings. Does he? Sometimes you feel like that because everything kind of falls apart. But that wasn't his fault. That was your own. Right? And so he loves you into health again. He restores our soul. What does that mean? In Psalm 32, isn't it? Huh? 23. See, I just inverted that. 23. So there's one of my flaws. 23. And so in that 23rd Psalm, he says, he restores our soul. What does that mean? Well, if you look at the soul, it's a mind, will, and emotion, and it needs restoration. If you've been wounded and hurt in your soul, in your emotions, in your mind in the past, you come to the Lord and he restores it. That means he brings it back to what it was. He restores it back to health. And so if me and you need restoration, right, that means there's something that has to take place in us for us to come back to health, right? If we need restoration, if we need our soul restored, that means there has to be something that happens to us. And so what Jesus does is he comes in and he loves you with compassion and he gives you truth and then you get healed. So the truth is what sets you free. And so in this element of relationship with Jesus, as we're learning and we're being obedient to him, and remember I took it to a place of understanding that he is our friend, right? He is a friend to us. We need to be a friend to him. Because friendship doesn't go one way very long, does it? You know, if it's just one-sided friendship, then it's a difficult relationship. But a friend is a back and forth thing. You do for one another. So he says, is my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. And it's just what Jesus did for us. What did he do? He left with us with the Holy Spirit. So he gave us the comforter, the one that helps us, the ones that restore us, the one that we allow the spiritual realm to come into us to heal us. And he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles, which he did. If it wasn't for what he did, justice to us Gentiles, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, right? You're one or the other. I think most of us in this room are probably Gentiles. And so what he did for us is that he brought justice to a heathen dog people. And says he will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. And that's what we get today because of what he's done. And so in this relationship that we have, hearing and listening, right? We hear, we all heard the word today, didn't we? Did you guys hear the wonderful message that God had for us and the hope? And it's not the rules and regulations. It's God's compassion for us that heals us, that brings us into restoration and love and wholeness. And he's trying to teach this to a people that are hearing him, right? They're hearing him, but they are not listening to him. And they didn't. In fact, they ended up crucifying him. But it's the same today. Jesus is speaking. And guess what, guys? We're hearing him, aren't you? But are you listening? Because the listening part is very important. That's where the rubber meets the road. You can hear it all day long. It's like I shared with the leadership group this morning in our meeting. Your father can call you, and I remember doing just this, right? He'd say, "David, come here. I got something for you to do." And I wouldn't come because I was busy doing something else. I heard him, but I wasn't listening. And then he would say, "Why didn't you come?" You know what my answer was? "I didn't hear you." Now, that was a flat-out lie. I heard exactly what he said, but I didn't want to come right now because I knew he had something for me to do, and I was messing around playing. I wanted to do that first. So I didn't hear you, Dad. Oh, yeah? How many of you guys have done that? Parents called you, and you heard, but you said, "I didn't hear you." Yeah, right? We probably all have. And we're sitting at this threshold right now where Jesus is doing the same thing to us. And we're hearing, "God, I hear you, God." But we're not listening. Because what he's telling us is that he wants us to do something. And the do is our part. We have to respond to what he's saying. We have to listen to what we just heard. And so I think we have a culture of Christians who hear very well. They're great hearers. They're just horrible listeners. Right? They hear what the Lord is saying. They even hear the tug on their heart. You know, they feel the presence of God. You know, they hear it. But boy, they're just horrible listeners. It's the part of the obedience part. It's the compassion that we have to hear. Right? He's not doing it to scold you. Right? He's not doing it to beat you up because you didn't. And he's not spanking you. He's calling you to a place of relationship with him so that you will be doers of what he's asked of you. So the understanding is this. You've heard it, and every one of you hear it. I've had conversations with you guys individually. You've heard very clearly. You've heard it. What did God say? Right, you've heard. You know exactly what he said to you. Now the next part is, did you listen? Did you listen to what he told you, and then are you acting upon what he said? That's the hearing and the listening. And so he did the same thing in this passage of Scripture. He was teaching this very clearly to those that have ears. He says, "Let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying." You have to have a willingness to listen, to pay attention, and to be obedient. Now, you can hear it all day long. The Sadducees and the Pharisees of that day heard him. They went out to listen to him. He spoke in the synagogue, all to them. And they watched him do miracle after miracle after miracle. And listen, you guys, we could do the same thing. We could watch miracles go on all around us every day of our life and not participate in God's plan. Did you know that? You can watch it happen in your own life, miracle after miracle after miracle, and say, thanks for the miracle, God, but I just will not listen to what you want me to do. I won't do it because your will isn't engaging. Your will is saying, but. And remember that message I had, your butt is usually bigger than your heart? Maybe you weren't here for that one. That's why it's good that you come to every service, that you'll catch up on these things. Isn't it true? The butt's bigger than the heart. But God. And so I want to end it with this. I want to, you know, I don't know why. Do you guys get tired of my challenges? It's like, I hear you, Dave, but I just don't want to do this. I just don't want to listen. I hear you, Pastor. I hear you. I hear the call. But I just don't want to do that. Right? And so the will is a big deal. You know that? Remember the teaching I've given every single one of you understand. Do you guys understand the difference between spirit, soul, and body? I've taught that many times, and hopefully you've caught that. Because Paul exhorted us to do what? He says, walk in the Spirit, Galatians 2:20. And you won't gratify the things of the flesh. You won't do the things that your flesh wants to do if you just simply walk in the Spirit. Simply do what the Spirit's calling you to do. You know what that means? That means there's an element of surrender on my part. I can't be in control here. I have to allow the Lord to do it. He has to be in control. He has to. In order for us to hear his still small voice, how many of you guys have heard the voice of the Lord say, turn your phone off? And you go, oh, it's okay. Nobody will call me right now. I'm good. And you get into the meeting and your phone goes off. Oh, God, I should have turned it off. You heard him, you just didn't listen. And that simple teaching and understanding is an aspect of our daily life. If you're listening to him, you will obey him when he calls. You'll hear him and then you will listen. Yes, Lord. Okay. And then it won't go off in the middle of the service or wherever you're at. And that's just a small example because we were talking to Doug and Sharona last night and she was telling us that, so it came to mind. But there's so many other aspects of life when the Holy Spirit speaks, right? And we just run right by it. And nothing ever becomes of it. But what if, just a question, what if you trained your spiritual ear to every single time the Holy Spirit spoke, you just simply obeyed? Simplicity of following Jesus. Simply just say yes. Okay. And so the challenge today is this. If you want more of the Holy Spirit speaking in you and you obeying him, then you're going to have to put the rubber to the road sooner or later. Sooner or later, when the challenge comes, you're going to have to go, okay, I don't want to do this, but it's the right thing to do. It's my turn to be obedient to you, Lord. And so here's how I'm going to do this. I want anybody in this room who really wants to accept this challenge to, you're not going to do it every time, but you got to start somewhere. If the Holy Spirit speaks, I'm going to say, I'm going to do my best to do what he's saying. Okay? If you guys want to take that challenge, just raise your hand. Okay, now what this is a commitment between you and the Lord, right? This is between you and God. Right? And say, I'm going to say yes to you, Lord. And so now what's going to happen is God's going to take you up on that. He's going to take you up on it and he's going to go, okay, you said, you guys ever see the skit with the chair, with the seat where that girl says, listen, Lord, you're Lord of my life now. I'm not going to do anything without you. You're in the seat. You're taking the driver's seat. This is your seat. And I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. And so the person comes in. And she lets Jesus sit on the seat. And then as circumstances arise, when God's asking her to go do these nails for this old granny and the old folks home, and she's going, yeah, but her toenails are nasty. And God said, but you said. She goes, and then she tries to scoot him back off the seat and take the seat back. She don't even realize it. And that's the challenge that we face. That's the dilemma. But I want to be a man who says yes to Jesus. Right? I want to be one who says, God, if you're going to use me, then I certainly want to obey you. Right? So if you say yes, then I'm all in, whatever that is. And so you guys, all of you took that challenge, not all of you maybe, but the ones that really wanted to did. And so now it's the rubber meets the road. So I want to, if you guys are feeling like I've done this before, you know, and nothing happened, you know whose voice that is? You've got to start figuring out which voice to listen to, all right? That is what the enemy does every time. He does it every time. And you got to just say, you know what? I've made this commitment to the Lord, and if you have a problem with that, go talk to Jesus about it. And he won't. But the first thing he does is try to stop you from keeping your word and to be a friend to Jesus, because he's a friend to you. And so, prayer team, why don't you come up? Now, and if you could find something to put on there. Let's not break what's going on. Let's just try to keep our focus on what the Lord's doing in the challenge. Afterwards, I'll let you, okay? So in the challenge, we have this. We have, God, I need the strength to do what I said that I was going to do. I need your Holy Spirit to strengthen me, Lord, and I need the power of the Holy Spirit to give me this willingness, first of all, and then the gumption to stick with it. And as you're speaking to me right now in an area of my life that you've asked me to stop doing something in my life and I haven't done it yet. In fact, I've been around this mountain many times. You are my friend, Lord. You're not a condemner. But Lord, you want me to be free. And Father, we just want to surrender to you. God, afresh and anew, this Sunday service, this time where we can come and allow you to speak to our hearts. And you're speaking all across this room. Every individual in this room is not by chance or here today, because you have a message. So, Father, we all just want to say yes to you. And this is a point of asking and being obedient, hearing you, Lord, hearing your Holy Spirit speak to us individually. And we want strength to be obedient to you, Lord, to keep our commitment to you, Lord, and to be a friend to you, because you're a friend to us. And if you're tugging us to come forward and ask for prayer, Lord, I pray that each one of us would put this message into practice right here, right now, and to come and ask. You said ask and it would be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and that door will be open. And this is our opportunity to ask, to be healed. The withered hand, Lord, the withered spirit, the withered body, the withered past. Healing is right now today, because you're our friend and you love us. So I ask God that you'd just help us be obedient. So if that's you and you've heard that and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, I just ask that you would come and you would receive what it is that you're asking of the Lord. Put it into practice. Take a step forward